Good day, beloved children of God. This is Father Ivan Olmo of St. Mary Catholic Church and School. Today we will be reflecting on the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. Please join me now in prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. There was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. He came to Jesus at night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you are doing unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Amen, amen, I say to you, unless one is born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man once grown old be born again? Surely he cannot re-enter his mother's womb and be born again, can he?" Jesus answered, "Amen, amen, I say to you, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. What is born of flesh is flesh, and what is born of spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I told you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it wills, and you can hear the sound it makes, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Heavenly Father, we love you and we bless you for the gift of prayer, for the gift of yourself, for the gift of your Son, for the gift of your Spirit. Please, we beg you, open our poor lips to praise your holy name. Cleanse our minds and our hearts of any worthless, evil, or distracting thoughts, feelings, or desires. Please, we beg you, give us the wisdom and the love to pray today, to pray right now with attention, reverence, and true devotion. Sweet, beautiful Father, may our prayer be heard in your presence, for it is offered through Christ, your beloved Son, our beloved Savior. Conversion, my brothers and sisters, a complete turning around in the direction that a person goes in. They go the wrong way. They enter into more darkness. And suddenly, there is that conversion moment. There is a moment of enlightenment. There is a moment of freedom. And there is a choice at that moment, to choose life or death, to choose good or evil, to choose God or the one who lies to us all the time. And in that conversion moment, the person knows without a doubt, they know that at this moment, they must be with God. They've been longing for this moment. And God is inviting them to change their hearts and to change their mind and to change their direction, to return, to come back to God. And in that conversion moment, the person chooses God. They choose life. They choose truth. They choose goodness. They choose holiness. They choose virtue. They choose the kingdom of God. What makes a person change? What causes our conversion? We thank God for the gift of holy baptism, that we are washed clean of our sinfulness. We are formed into a new creation. And God breathes once again into those waters life, and he breathes into us the gift and the outpouring of his love and Holy Spirit. And we are made a new creation, and it is a new day, a new beginning, a new life in Christ. And in that conversion, in that change, our Lord pours his Holy Spirit inside of us, and the Holy Spirit is the one that causes us to examine our hearts, to examine our conscience, to move our hearts to be contrite and to beg for forgiveness and mercy, but also to give us the confidence and the faith and the belief that God is merciful, kind, and forgiving. And that he is going to forgive us because God is love, God is mercy, God is peace. What does a person need to change? To change the direction from sinfulness to holiness, from evil to goodness, from death into everlasting life. Well, all the saints speak about this process, that a person goes from sinfulness to desire unity with God. It is our spiritual journey. It is our faith journey. It is our conversion story. And ultimately, they tell us about three important steps, three important stages in this process. Where we go to. And the first one is called the purgative stage. And in this stage, we desire to change, to be purged of all our disordered attractions. We want to be purged from all our sinfulness. We want to be purged from all those things that cause us to fall from grace. We want to be purged of all our temptation. In this stage, a person seeks to diminish and purge everything that causes it, disordered affections and pleasures. It is the beginning of seeking God in a natural way, in a spiritual way. So in the purgative stage, we desire to develop a hatred for whatever it is that's contrary to God, to love God, and to really hate the things that cause us to be separated from God. And the main virtue in the purgative stage is humility. That in this stage, we want to cultivate a virtue of humility. To really look at ourselves the way we really are in all our sinfulness, not our inflated ego, but really to look at ourselves and to realize that we are poor sinners in need of redemption, that we have to just simply come with contrite hearts to God, but we have to be honest with ourselves that we're not the perfect people that we think or say that we are. Perfection lies in realizing that we are poor sinners, poor creatures, in need of redemption. That humility says that we want to follow the way of the cross, to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Jesus because we are in need of forgiveness and mercy. It is in this stage where we come to grips with our own weaknesses, our own sinfulness, our dependencies, and we want to rely on God's grace in order to change our hearts, to change our mind, and to change our lives. And then when we begin to really progress through this stage, the purgative stage, we move into what's called an illuminative stage. Here we begin to grow in prayer and in spirit, and we make progress in trying to diminish all our disordered passions. We have more control of our thoughts. We're trying to keep ourselves from mortal sin, but we do still know and accept that we have those little venial sins that continue to happen inside of us. And as John Paul II says, that all the venial sins left unchecked, eventually they become big mortal and grave sins. And so here we realize in this stage, in the illuminative stage, that yes, we still take pleasure in earthly things, and we're still distracted in one way or another in the thought process. Our thoughts are always running away from us. We always are dreaming about what if and what could be, and if I had this money. And during this stage, we are trying to recollect ourselves even more so, and to trying to have some control over these thoughts, over our sinfulness, over our sinful actions. And the mind becomes more enlightened to spiritual things. We are more drawn to heavenly things. Our love for God is a little more stronger, more intimate. And now the soul seeks even more than ever before to progress in the spiritual life and to practice virtue. In other words, to be the beloved children that we have been created to be through the waters of baptism and filled by the grace and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And ultimately, we desire union with God. We are made for God. As Bishop Barron says, we are hardwired for God. We are created for Him. And so in the unitive stage, it is the third stage. It is where we have union with God. We become contemplatives. We become spiritual people, no longer fleshly people. We've purged ourselves from that. We're more enlightened by the Spirit. And now we are experiencing God's profound love for us in this stage, and we're living it. We know how much God loves us, and we never want to be separated from that love. So we would rather be detached from this world and from all those things and from all those people who cause our minds and actions to fall and to separate ourselves from God. We want to separate ourselves from temporal things, and we want to attach ourselves to heavenly and spiritual things. In this stage, we have great peace at knowing that God has loved us, God has forgiven us, God hasn't abandoned us, and God will always provide for us. We have become once again dependent on God. And we're not troubled by worldly desires in this stage, because we've moved from our sinful passions, and now we're living in the spiritual realm. Because we're spiritual beings, we have been once again conformed, changed, converted in the Spirit. Because those who live by the flesh will live by the flesh. But those who live in the Spirit will be redeemed and will receive these eternal gifts that God has promised us. that haven't been purged of all the worldliness, now our minds and hearts are filled and fixed on God. And now we understand when we look at Nicodemus that he has gone through this process. That when we look at someone on Good Friday and we go through Good Friday and we read those gospel texts and we hear how Nicodemus and we know that Joseph of Arimathea, they asked for the body of Jesus. These are Jewish rulers. These are Jewish people who just know that the people have rejected Christ and they're not afraid anymore. They have become disciples of him. They have become believers. And we know Nicodemus himself brings like 100 pounds of myrrh and aloe and all spices to go ahead and put Jesus in the tomb. And this is excess we hear from Benedict XVI. He says, this is so much that this is a royal burial. Nicodemus is burying somebody of royalty. He looks at Jesus as his Lord, his Savior, and his King. In other words, Nicodemus has been converted. He has been born from above. But what changed? What changed? He went through this process of purging himself, of allowing the light of Christ to illumine his darkness, and ultimately seeking union with God. He becomes born from above. And we know that Nicodemus comes to Jesus in the night. This begins his journey into the spiritual life. He comes seeking Jesus in the darkness. We already know that he's hiding. He's fearful. He hasn't yet come to the light, but he knows who the light is. Jesus is somehow enlightened, priest, prophet, that he knows he's a messenger from God. And so he comes to him wanting to know how to enter into the kingdom of God. We've heard this question. What must I do to be saved? What must I do to enter into the kingdom of God? What must I do to be good and holy? And so he believes that Jesus is someone sent from God, someone that he knows that he can come to and ask these questions that are burning inside of him. And so he comes to him with this question about the kingdom of God. He takes a big risk here. He's not afraid anymore. His fear is starting to subside. It's starting to be purged out of him. And he's starting to be illumined in Christ. And so what we hear is that flesh and blood cannot possess the kingdom of God. That this world cannot possess the kingdom of God, for they are carnal. They're subject to the appetites and the passions of the body because it's fleshly, sensual, it's physical, it's mortal, it's worldly. And the kingdom of God is not that. The kingdom of God is spiritual, as we hear. Flesh gives birth to flesh because it's prone to sin. But to enter into the kingdom of God, we must be spiritual people. We must be born from above. We must be born in the Spirit. For flesh generates flesh, but the Spirit generates its own. It generates Spirit. We hear through the waters of baptism, the Holy Spirit transmit himself and Jesus through those waters into our hearts and souls. That is the Holy Spirit that makes the baptized like himself. He makes them spiritual beings. They become holy, heavenly. They become divine. The Holy Spirit gives his sevenfold gifts. He sanctifies them and adopts them as his own. We become beloved children of God once again. In other words, we are recreated, born again as sons and daughters of God, partakers of his divine nature. And we understand that Nicodemus received this gift, that baptism enlightens the mind to help us to see with the interior heart, with the eyes of our faith, to believe in who Jesus is, that he is the light of the world. And in that conversion, Nicodemus comes to show that he loves Jesus, that now he's a loving disciple. He's not afraid anymore. He knows who Jesus is, and Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Nicodemus has gone through these stages that he was purged in the purgative stage of all those things that were concerned about himself. That in the illuminative stage, Jesus was enlightening him in what he must be, what he must do in order to be saved and enter into the kingdom of God. And with his love and trust, surrendering himself in the unitive stage, he has ultimate union with Christ, union with God in the Spirit. He is born from above. He is born in the Spirit. What about you? Have you been converted? Have you been born from above? The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel.